Welcome to the Breakdown to Breakthrough podcast. My name is Lisa A. Romano. I am a life coach, best-selling author, YouTube vlogger, meditation teacher, and expert in the field of codependency and narcissistic abuse. I am a believer in the power of an organized mind. My aim is to help people learn what it means to live above the veil of consciousness rather than living a reactive life. May your heart feel blessed, your mind feel expanded, and your spirit find hope as you spend time with me here at the Breakdown to Breakthrough podcast.
So today, we're going to be talking about emotional neglect and longing. So I put a post out recently on Instagram and Facebook, and I want to read it to you. It says, longing. Adult children of alcoholics and narcissistic parents never escape the longing we feel for a parent who was capable of truly seeing us. This longing is tied to feeling abandoned by those we loved, knowing no matter what we did, it would never be enough to change our parents' behavior. We have lived our lives aching for a connection to those who were in denial of dysfunctional family dynamics. I wanted to talk about this idea of longing because I think it is a universal feeling that so many of us experience when we come from alcoholic homes, when we come from narcissistic homes, when we come from homes where our parents are addicted to gambling, or they're addicted to weed, or they're addicted to something. When parents are addicted, they're unable to attune themselves to their children. So children are then forced to attune themselves to their parents, which is backwards. When this happens, children become hypervigilant. They're paying attention to everything that mommy says, everything that mommy does, every move daddy makes, every sound daddy makes. Children are forced to become hypervigilant. So now, rather than paying attention to what's going on inside of them, they're forced to pay attention to what's going on outside of them. Why is this? Because all of us come here with an absolute need to feel like we belong, especially to our tribe or to our family. And when our parents aren't able to attune themselves to us, we feel disconnected. The problem is, when we grow up feeling disconnected from parents who are unable to meet our emotional needs or psychological needs or physical needs, what ends up happening is we internalize this inability to connect and we think it's our fault. That's where shame comes from. So if you came from a home that was emotionally neglectful, if your parents ignored your emotions, if your parents made fun of your emotions, if you struggled with some type of feeling chastised, victimized, even abused by the people that were supposed to love you, that you may not have ever felt like you were enough to gain their approval, or you were enough to gain their love, or you were enough to feel nurtured. And so shame is the byproduct of feeling like we're unable to gain a connection to our parents. And this sets us up for really toxic situations in the future, because what's happening is our subconscious mind is being programmed to believe that we're not enough. Our little minds that are not very critical just assume that it's our fault that we're unable to get nurtured. It's our fault that we're being chastised. It's our fault that we're being ignored. It's our fault that our family is falling apart. It's our fault that our parents are fighting. And sometimes, really, really sad, we have parents and even siblings, even extended family members that make us feel like it's our fault our parents are fighting, or it's our fault our parents are drinking. I've heard clients of mine tell me that their parents have said to them, well, it's your fault that I drink. If you weren't such a little brat, that I wouldn't drink. If you didn't say this, that I wouldn't go out until all hours of the night. Really messing with a child's emotional set point. Really messing with a child psychologically. Actually inflicting a child with a sense that they have some control over their parents drinking, which is absolutely absurd. But you know what? Imagine if you're that child. Imagine if you're that adult child that has been programmed to believe it was your fault that your parents drank, or it was your fault that your parents fought. Imagine the shame that you would feel, the guilt that you would feel, thinking that you had some power and control that you did not have. You know, unless you confront these beliefs, they run rampant in the subconscious mind. And that's why I rely heavily on the idea of reprogramming the subconscious mind. And that's why I am someone who believes that we have to see the holes in the wall. I know there are other people out there that say, no, you don't have to focus on that. You just have to focus on what you want. I don't necessarily agree, because I think that's almost like bypassing what's really going on. I think that in order to truly heal, I have to know what's causing the deficit within me. I have to know where the shame is coming from. I have to know why I feel the way I feel. I have to know why I'm codependent. Why do I keep twisting myself into a pretzel to try to be good enough for someone who is avoidant? Why do I keep chasing after people's approval by people who make it very obvious they want nothing to do with me? Why do I hang on to toxic relationships? Why do I keep thinking that I'm going to be able to fix my alcoholic husband? Why do I think I'm going to be able to be good enough to get my mother to stop drinking? Where does all of this come from? It comes from the way we have been programmed to think and perceive as children. Remember, you needed to be attuned to. And if your parents had an addiction, if your parents had a personality disorder, if they were emotionally immature, if they were overwhelmed by their life experiences, not their fault, if there were many children in your family, in other words, like you were one of seven, you were one of six, you were one of five, mom's a single mom and she's working three jobs, maybe dad passed away, maybe mom passed away and dad's doing the best that he can, trying to keep a roof over the heads of his children, trying to maintain tuition for the children, just trying to keep things together. Our parents struggle too. And oftentimes they are in situations that are outside their ability to control it. But when you're a child, regardless of what's happening outside of you, you always assume it's your fault. And that's where shame comes from. We think it's our fault that we're not able to make our parents happy. And then if you add a personality disorder on top of that, if you add gaslighting, parental gaslighting, where parents are gaslighting their children, telling the children that they're the reason that they drink, they're the reason that they're getting a divorce, they're the reason that they gained weight, they're the reason that they're depressed. This is horrible. This is psychological abuse. That little boy, that little girl, that was you, you didn't know that mom was dysfunctional. To you, mom and dad are God. That's what we think. Our parents are God. How could they be wrong? There's no concept that mom and dad could be wrong. That would freak a child out if they thought that their parents were dysfunctional. That would freak a child out for them to consider the idea that their parents aren't in control. It's an illusion many of the times that we think that, oh, our parents know what they're talking about. I lived my life thinking that my mother and father knew everything. And it wasn't until I was well into my 30s that I began to realize, like, no, they don't know how to be happy. They are unrecovered. They have so much trauma in their background. They are controlling. They are emotionally oppressive. They are highly critical. They don't know how to have fun. They don't know how to let go. They can even be mean-spirited. They're condescending. If you don't agree with them, you're out. It was terrible growing up in that type of an environment. But my parents would tell you that they didn't think they were doing anything wrong. They were unaware that they were unaware. When my parents gave me advice, I thought that they were giving me the right advice. I had no clue, no concept that my father, who had quit high school, my mom, who had quit high school, I had no idea that they had no idea how not to direct me. That they were just flying by the seat of their pants, that they were offering me advice based on the information that they had gathered throughout their life. But I didn't know that their experiences were so limited. And so when my mom and dad offered me advice, I thought it was the best advice that I could ever be given. I had no clue. It took me many years to be able to see my family clearly, to take the rose-colored glasses off and to say, wait a minute. This is toxic. This is dysfunctional. This isn't healthy. Even though they'll tell me that I'm the one who's crazy, I need to really see this very critically, logically, I have to see the big picture here. Even though they're telling me that I'm crazy, that I'm too deep, that I make a big deal out of nothing, I had to learn to come out of denial because my parents were wrought in denial. They couldn't see it. And, you know, if you have parents who are banging holes in the wall, but they don't think that they are, the house can be falling apart. You could see that my parents are creating this havoc, but if they can't see it, then it can't stop. You are powerless to that situation when you were a child, when you were longing to connect with a family that doesn't think there's anything wrong with drinking excessively or being stoned in front of the children or acting immaturely in front of the children or being emotionally abusive, being critical, being oppressive, being mean-spirited, gaslighting your children, triangulating your children. When you have parents who believe that there's nothing wrong with behaving this way, you are powerless. You're a helpless little girl. You're a helpless little boy. But that doesn't mean you know what's going on. That doesn't mean you're able to recognize that this is dysfunctional. Unfortunately, in most cases, children who grow up in those homes walk around in denial too. We don't know that our family is toxic. And then we have this added layer of family loyalty. We feel like we are going against the family if we tell the truth. Or we feel as if, well, maybe our family wasn't that bad. We have all of this anxiety inside of us, all of this panic, all of this not enough stuff, depression, you name it, rumination, dissociation, the inability to make a decision, the inability to set a boundary. We keep making the same mistakes. We keep ending up in toxic relationships. But we keep telling ourselves that, oh, my childhood wasn't that bad. And when we sugarcoat it, we're not able to see things clearly. So denial is definitely a problem. Coming out of denial for the adult child of an alcoholic is a heroic act. You've got to be able to look at your past and say, in spite of what my parents think, in spite of what my grandparents think, in spite of what my siblings think, I know this happened to me. I know this is not correct. And here we are, we develop codependency as a result of these childhood experiences, seeking validation, looking for permission to feel, looking for other people to tell us it's okay that we feel what we feel. And now we're coming out of that cocoon and we're saying, no, this is how I feel. Even if all of you tell me that I'm crazy, this in fact is how I feel. That is absolutely courageous and it's lonely. And now you're sticking your finger in the eye of your issues, of your abandonment trauma, of your insecure attachment. You're sticking your eye in exactly why you are codependent in the first place. You are wiggling the wound that is activated. You're pouring salt and vinegar in the wounds that have created the codependency in the first place, which is feeling like you don't belong, which is, wow, I have this longing to feel seen by these parents. I have a longing to feel like I matter. I have a longing to feel like someone cares about me. This doesn't go away. What it does is we end up burying it and then we become codependent or we become highly agreeable. We become people pleasers. We become doormats. We become the first person to show up in the office with coffee for everybody. And we are the last person to leave. We've got the key and we lock up after everyone's gone home, right? We don't even realize we're looking to belong. We're looking to make sure that other people find value in us and maybe they'll think that we're worthy. And maybe in trying to be worthy, then maybe someone will care about us. Or maybe if we care about other people, maybe they'll care about us in return. We don't even realize we're operating that way. And if you don't know that you're doing this, you can't fix it. And if you don't know you're doing this, then you can't fill up that hole, that gaping hole in the middle of your chest. You can't do it. Although you are the secret. You can fill yourself up. You can heal this longing, but it's going to take everything that you've got. So you have to have courage. You have to have integrity. You have to be willing to take those codependent glasses off. You've got to be able to take those Pollyanna glasses off. You've got to be able to accept how you feel. Even though your family that's in denial might be telling you you're crazy, you have to say, no, this is how I feel. You've got to stop comparing how you feel to how other people feel. Adult children of alcoholics and narcissistic parents do this all the time. I see it in my 12-week group. Every time we launch a 12-week group, someone says, but I don't think that I have a right to be here because I didn't experience that level of trauma. But yet, everything that I talk about, they resonate with. And so to me, that's so sad because this is someone who is doubting what they feel. They're doubting they have a right to feel it, but yet they feel it. They're missing the signals. If I feel this way, there's a reason. If my toe is bleeding, there's a reason. I drop something on my toe, I stub my toe, or I have an infection. My toe is palpating. It's blowing up. It's all swollen. There's a reason. So if you feel like you're empty, if you feel like you don't know who you are, there's a reason. If you feel like you were never able to connect to your family of origin, there's a reason. If you feel like your parents' treatment of you has affected you, you're not crazy. There's a reason. Your family may have done a very good job at convincing you that you don't have a right to feel that way. Your family may have done a very good job at convincing you that you're crazy. If you have a narcissistic mom, narcissistic moms triangulate their children against one another. That's what they do. And now the siblings take on the role of mom in some situations, and they actually start harassing the scapegoat child. So now the triangulated golden child is now saying many of the same things that the narcissistic mom would say to the sibling, corrupting the ability for siblings to actually have a loving relationship. It's just so sad. It's just destruction all the way around. But if you were understanding that you have a longing, that you have a desire to be loved, lots of times, I think, in my humble opinion, this aching comes from the fact that we never felt loved. You know, if I am hungry, that's because I haven't been fed. If I'm thirsty, that's because I haven't drank water. I'm thirsty. If I have a hunger for love, that's because my love tank has not been filled up. I don't know what it feels like to be loved. If I've never experienced love on the outside, I don't know how to love myself. This is where this ability to heal this emptiness or this gaping hole in our chest comes from. Learning to love the self. If you're interested in taking this journey, I have a 4-part e-course. It's called Loving the Self Video and Meditation and Journaling Program. This is a great place to start if you are struggling with loving the self. You have to learn how to love yourself. Why? No one taught you. Sure, a narcissistic mom will teach you how to tie your shoes, but she will not teach you how to love yourself. A narcissistic mom might teach you how to make an egg on the stove or boil some water for some pasta. She might teach you how to go to outside the house to get the mail and bring it back in the house. She might teach you how to open up a bottle of beer for her, but she will not teach you how to love yourself. And that's your right. You have to learn how to love yourself. If you are struggling with this longing, please know that you're not crazy. Please know that it is tied to emotional neglect, emotional abandonment. It's tied to insecure attachments, inconsistent mothering and fathering, parenting, inconsistent nurturing. You didn't feel safe. You were never taught that, you know, if you cried, you would be received, that you would be soothed. The ability to soothe ourselves as adults is tied to how well our parents were able to soothe us as children. So if you were taught that your feelings were irrelevant, if you were mocked, if you were made fun of, you were never soothed. And so you don't know how to emotionally regulate. The ability to emotionally regulate as an adult comes from the time and the attunement and the attention that people put into you when you're a child to soothe you when you're upset. So you don't have that data. That's not your fault. I didn't know how to emotionally regulate. I never felt like anyone cared about what I felt like emotionally. If I cried, I was banished from the kingdom. I was told to go upstairs if I wanted to cry. I was mocked. I was called a drama queen. I was told that I was selfish. I was told that I was just looking for attention. And so it was like my mother was pouring acid on top of me. I was emotional. I was upset. I wasn't allowed to cry. I was mocked. Like I said, banished from the kingdom. And so I thought, well, maybe if I turn my emotions off, maybe if I show no emotion, then maybe my mother will love me. Maybe that will make her happy, right? Because I longed for my mother's love. I longed for her touch. So it was always in my head trying to figure out, how can I get her to love me? And so I turned my emotions off, at least in front of her. That didn't work either. She called me a cold fish. Lisa has no feelings. I mean, it was bonkers. Bonkers. In my head, I was like, how am I going to make her happy? Eventually, I learned that the only thing that made her happy was getting out of her way or agreeing with her, but certainly just removing myself from her and trying to make myself very small and trying not to aggravate her. And as I became an adult, I very much became codependent in certain situations. If I thought my mother needed help, I was there hook, line, and sinker. Anytime I got a little hint that my mother was upset with my dad or she got sick, she had surgery a few times, I was her nursemaid. Still, as an adult female, looking to connect with my mother and ultimately realizing I was never going to be able to because I could not break through her. I could not get her to awaken. And through my journey with my mother, what eventually happened was she had a couple of strokes. She was diagnosed with dementia. And believe it or not, through her dementia diagnosis, all of her passive aggressiveness, even the levels of narcissism that we would see in my mom, they literally dissolved. And suddenly there she was. There was this humble, beautiful creature, even told me she loved me. And you know what? She meant it. In those moments, looking me dead in the eye, Lisa, I love you. Waited my whole life to hear that. And here she was dying from kidney failure, dying from dementia. It was very sad, but it also helped me shift. It helped me to forgive her even on a deeper level and to just accept what was and to move into this moment of, well, here she is now, and just allow whatever level of love that she's able to muster, even though she's sick, just accept it. And that's what I did. And I offered her all the love that I could as well. So I've actually been able to make peace with my mom. But before that, I had to teach myself how to love myself. And so I'd like to offer you a couple of ideas that have helped me along the way. You have to become spiritually selfish if you have never felt loved in your life. And I don't care how many people have said, yeah, we loved you. Yeah, we loved you. If you didn't feel loved, pay attention to that. And maybe they were loving you. And for whatever reason, you weren't able to allow it in. That's okay. That's a lot of our stories. So don't beat yourself up for that. But certainly what you want to do is you want to acknowledge exactly where you are, where you are. You want to acknowledge exactly how you feel. You have to start telling your story. You have to get a journal. You have to make time for yourself. You have to ask your inner child, what do you think? How do you feel? Did you feel nurtured? Did you feel loved? Why didn't you feel loved? Did you assume blame for not feeling loved? Why do you think you carry shame? These are the types of journaling prompts that you use that I call sentence completion work. So I will prompt my inner child, like, how do you feel? What was your experience? And I will just let my inner child flow. I don't share this with anyone because 9 times out of 10, there's going to be someone in your experience that tells you, you have no right to feel that way. So be honest with yourself, honor yourself. Then what you want to do is you want to start asking your inner child, what do you need? You have to get spiritually selfish on this journey. And what I mean by that is it has to become all about you. And I don't mean you stop feeding your children. And I don't mean that you start ignoring your husband. And I don't mean that you stop going to work. No, we all have responsibilities. We all have duties. Listen, life is really difficult. And the strongest of us survive. And the most mentally tough amongst us will experience happiness. If we give up before we get through this, we're going to suffer more than necessary. So I say we need to be mentally tough. Mentally tough means that I have to know me. It means that I have to be able to say, this is my story, even though you and you and you and you tell me I don't have a right to this story. Or you try to tell me that this story is a bunch of malarkey. Being mentally tough means I own it. I own my story. It doesn't mean that I go out and I rent a billboard in Times Square and I say, hey, my name's Lisa and this is my story. It's not necessary. It's not necessary for me to put it on Facebook. It's not necessary for me to go to my mother and say, hey, you did this to me. It's not necessary. My journey, my story isn't about what anybody else thinks. I don't need anything from anybody. I don't need to stick my finger in anybody's eye. I need to come correct with me. I need to know me. I need to honor me. I need to honor my inner child. I need to know exactly why I feel the way I feel. I need to know what I feel. So when you're journaling, make sure that you're exploring how you feel, what you think, what your story was. Allow the tears to come. Give yourself a half an hour or an hour every day to journal. Sometimes I would just sit in the tub and I would allow myself to feel these feelings and I would just cry, like ugly cry, but I let it out. I was giving my inner child permission to experience the experience that she wasn't allowed to experience because she was afraid of being rejected as a child. So I became the silent observer that Eckhart Tolle talks about. I became the silent witness. I observed these experiences. I gave myself permission to feel and to express. And I'm telling you that the more you give yourself permission to feel and embrace where you are, the more integrated you will feel. I do think that this is the key to healing this longing, is to validate the inner child, is to give yourself permission and a platform to experience these experiences you weren't allowed to experience when you were a little girl or your little boy. Give yourself permission to feel. That's the first part. The second part is that you have to learn to validate and have compassion for the inner child. So you've got to stop the negative self-talk. You know, if I screamed at my dog every day, she'd be a nervous, anxious wreck. I kiss Alice. I love Alice. I baby Alice. Literally, I treat her like she's one of my children. My kids are actually jealous of the way that I treat my dog. We have to develop that level of compassion for the self. You have to learn to speak to yourself that way. You have to know that if negative goes in, negative is going to come out. Not only will negative come out in the way that you speak, you will attract more negative. If you have a poverty mindset, a lack mentality, then you're going to attract more of that in your experience until you understand there's something to this law of attraction stuff. There's something to believing I can. If I believe that I can, then I'm going to be my best. I'm going to try. If I believe that I can't, I won't try. Is it a big surprise that if I don't believe that I can and I don't try, is it really such a big mystery when I don't achieve, when things don't go my way? If I don't believe that I'm worthy of love, is it a big surprise that I attract toxic relationships? I don't think so. Not when I look at it from the quantum angle, not when I think about vibration, not when I think about mindset and how my mindset affects the way that I think and what I believe and what I do and how I feel and the choices that I make. It all makes sense. So you want to make sure that you understand that longing means that you're looking for something, and that's why you're longing. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you're looking for whatever it is that you're longing for inside of you. So you're longing to be heard. You have to hear yourself. How do you feel? What do you think? You're longing to feel seen. You have to see yourself. What is your story? Write about it. Give yourself permission to tell your story. Don't present it to the world. Don't look for people to judge you. Forget it. They're not important. What's important is you. Become spiritually focused. Become spiritually selfish and make sure that you're giving yourself everything that you ever needed as a child, the love, the attention, the affection, the compassion, the forgiveness, the empathy. Make a list of the things that bring you joy and try to move in that direction every single day. Don't give up. If you keep focusing on what you don't want, then that's all that can show up in your experience. I've lived this. I know what I'm talking about. And what gets me excited about doing this type of work is the idea that one person's life can be changed with this type of information. I know my life was changed as I began to study the quantum field, when I started to study quantum mechanics, when I started to study the subconscious mind, when I started to study mindset, when I started to study the psychology of a child, like child psychology and what every child needs. And I went, holy cow, I never got any of that. No wonder I turned out the way I did. So then it was like, okay, now I have to offer myself all of these things that I needed and I desired as a child. I promise you, this will help you heal the longing within. And if you want to dive deeper into this, you are so welcomed into my 12-week breakthrough coaching program. I have two options for the classes. You can take a live class with me and five moderators and follow along on Facebook with the support group and participate in live group calls with me every week. Or you can participate in this on-demand class. It's an e-course. It's a self-study class. The information is the same. You get a new lesson every 7 days. You can just follow along at your own time and work at your own pace. And we actually offer that at 50% off. But if you're longing, if you're codependent, if you don't feel good enough, if you feel invisible, nothing changes until something changes. And I just hope that the work that I offer gives you the oomph And it gives you a catalyst. It acts like a catalyst to help you look within so that you can heal your life. There is a light within you, and your job is to find that light and let it shine. Until next time, bye, everybody.